Welcome to STEM Spots, a weekly science review produced in cooperation with the Missouri State University Department of Physics, Astronomy, and Materials Science.
Hi, this is Dave Cornielsen, and you are listening to STEM Spots. I'm going to do something I haven't done in a while, and that's talk just a little bit myself without a guest in the studio. I used to do that quite a bit. This week, I'm going to talk a little bit about some topics that I've been musing on for several months. They have to do with planets, the discovery of life on those planets, and repercussions therefrom. The first thing to talk about is whether there are planets around other stars. And of course, we've talked to scientists on the show about that. And if you've read anything in the public press, you probably know something about that. Even though it's difficult to find those planets, by now the techniques have been developed such that we know that there's probably at least a planet around nearly every star you look at up in the sky. And those planets are a wide range of sizes and distances from their parent star, and they are various temperatures and so forth. But it's clear that the other planet piece of this puzzle is in place. And so the next thing people might want to think about is, are those planets in a zone, in a position where they could conceivably support life? Of course, the question is, life as we know it or life just in general? So the first thing people usually think about, scientists included, is what about life as we know it? And so for life as we know it, they're usually looking for planets that could exist in a region near their star where liquid water could exist on the surface of the planet. And when doing so, that means you get something called a Goldilocks zone, a habitable range around the star, depending upon, of course, the size and brightness of the star and so forth. And people have now begun to see that there are planets that fall in this range, although they're difficult to find. And of course, since they can't be too close to the star, sometimes it's harder to find them. And since they probably need to be rocky planets, it's also difficult to find them. That means they're probably smaller, but they're starting to find these. And so now they see that there are planets in zones where this could happen. And so how would they detect a signature of life on these planets? Let's leave out for the moment the possibility there would be life that we don't know about and of a completely different sort than we're used to. And so you can look in a couple of different ways. So, of course, we also have planets in this solar system that aren't the Earth. And what about life on those planets? Well, we can look at those planets in different ways than we can look at planets that are going around other stars. In those particular cases, such as Mars, we have actual rovers and various kinds of instruments that have landed on the surface of Mars and have been poking around in the soil there for a long time. If you haven't seen recently, a scientist from the 1970s associated with NASA says the signatures for life may have been found as early as the mid-1970s, although that's a controversial, somewhat discussion. But what is clear is that the NASA chief scientist right now thinks that within a few years we should have fairly clear evidence that there's life of some sort, or at least the signatures required for life, in the dirt on Mars. So there's a possibility there. Of course, if we look at these other planets around other stars, these exoplanets, we can't possibly get there, certainly not in our lifetimes or in the foreseeable future, to get dirt samples or to poke around in the dirt. But what we can do is we can look at the light that's scattered from the atmospheres of those planets, if indeed they do have atmospheres, which many of them do. And in those cases, we see signatures of molecules that exist in the gas phase. And those gas phase molecules can be representative of various kinds of processes. What kinds of things might they look for? Well, they would look for things that have organics in them, perhaps like methane. They would look for carbon dioxide. They would certainly look for water vapor. And they might also look for oxygen. They might also look for mixtures of molecules that could be made from the biologically significant molecules we're used to, like carbon, nitrogen, oxygen, phosphorus, sulfur, hydrogen, those sorts of things. In fact, some scientists at Massachusetts Institute of Technology have been doing just that, where they've been looking for combinations of molecules we normally wouldn't think of as being biologically significant here in order to allow for the possibilities that life has taken a different path. Now, if it's going to be fairly imminent that these sorts of things will yield signatures that we believe are due to life, then what will we think of that? Is it going to change our minds? I should mention that I'm in the process of getting somebody to come on and talk about that. One of the people that I reached out to essentially sent back word through an intermediary that said, well, if life exists on another planet, God made it. That's a fairly straightforward answer. And of course, there's more to it than that, because it might change our whole attitude about the way things are and the way we see things. So in the future, hopefully we'll talk about that a little bit more, but certainly something to think about in this day and age. And this is Dave Cornielsen for STEM Spots, signing off.
STEM Spots is available online at ksmu.org.